For it.
Welcome to Sharing Socks, the Carlos Rodon edition. I'm Lee Allen, Southside Sox duty geezer, sitting on an actually pleasant day in Chicago, getting ready for an incredibly unpleasant week of sub-zero temps and I'm sure way sub-zero wind chills. With me, my son of West Coast Bars, correspondent Will, sitting in 70 degrees of sunshine out in Los Angeles and hiding a scary person who it turns out the Sox will have to fear for at least another year, Mr. Nelson Cruz himself. Meanwhile, though,
I don't know if you can tell, I've got his eye line looking where the ball is probably going to go every time that they face the White Sox this year.
Except Giolito's supposed to have his number. Giolito knows how to pitch him, is capable of doing it. Apparently everybody knows how to pitch him. It's just only Giolito is capable of putting it where he wants to put it when he wants to put it there. First of all, the season. Major League Baseball made a proposal to shorten the season and change all kinds of other stuff in the favor of the owners. Understandably, the union rejected that. So it looks like we're going to have just kind of a standard pre-COVID 162-game season. I'm sure there will be missing games and missing teams for a while. But players, catchers, and pitchers will be reporting shortly. The rest of the players after that, a regular spring training, 162 games. No DH in the National League. And back to the playoffs of five with the division winners plus two wild cards, which I like. I hate having the season cheapened by, yes, the Sox got in because everybody got in last year. But I like a real season to be played for a purpose. And I like the five. Did you prefer the four or the five?
I actually, and this is going to be very unpopular, I like expanded playoffs. And the reason for that is in our tank or go for it league that we now play in, it's kind of what they did in the NBA where, you know, they have almost everybody, it feels like, gets in the NBA. It's just over half the teams, I think, get in.
The old saw pre-LeBron James time there was that the NBA plays its entire regular season to eliminate Cleveland.
Well, that's true again. I like the expanded playoffs just because it puts teams in a very difficult position in terms of throwing in the towel or not. If there is a chance, and baseball is one of those sports where anyone could win on any given day. If there's a chance that you can make it to the playoffs and potentially make it a round or two, you're way more likely to try to win baseball games. And this is exactly why the NBA does it. They don't want teams tanking, you know, halfway through the season and playing schlubs against, you know, LeBron and against KD and so I actually like it. What I don't like is three-game series because I think three-game series are bogus and they lean too far the other way and anyone can win on any given day. And you don't want your eight seed taking out your one because it was a three-game series and the pitching matchups lined up strangely.
Of course, if you look at the three-game series from this past season, you had a definitive finish for the Central Divisions, which went 2-14. So apparently not anybody can win any three-game series. Nobody from the Central Divisions can win a three-game series. And only a couple of them even come close, the White Sox being one of those.
Well, then that there's an argument for a three-game series, I guess. But I do like a slightly expanded playoff. I mean, I would rather see five teams than four teams. I'd rather see six teams than five teams and give the top two a bye like football's done. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know, the whole negotiation thing and how this has gone down has been so disappointing and so sort of pathetic and typical of Major League Baseball and also the players union. And
it's more on the owners. The owners really offered
way more on
virtually nothing in exchange for giving themselves hundreds of millions of dollars in TV rights for the playoffs.
So, yeah. Way more on the owners.
Players had
don't get me
it.
Wrong. Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, I like the idea of having a couple more teams in the playoffs. I think it's going to make, you know, July through September a lot more interesting. When you go down to four, you have a lot of years where, you know, no one's really playing anymore in August or September. Things are kind of decided. Or you do have like the occasional, you know, I think it was 2012 maybe, where the five teams all changed playoff positions in the final game within 45 minutes. It was the single most exciting day of baseball I've ever seen. It was just unbelievable. But that is so rare. I think it's good to have a couple more playoff team options.
I like the five. The reason I like the five more than the four, even though I'm not an expanded playoffs guy, was that with the four, the wild card is sometimes won the World Series. I mean, it happened a couple of times. And part of it was their only disadvantage being a wild card was losing home field.
Right.
Now, that's a deal. You sleep in your own bed. You make your scrambled eggs in the morning the way you want them. You have your own locker room. The outfielders know how to play the caroms. Infielders know how much foul room there's. All that kind of stuff.
Home is where you've set up your high def cameras in center field and where your trash can is.
Exactly. There you go. And you've got your trash cans that you're familiar with. But with the five, the wild cards having to play each other, it put the wild cards at a big disadvantage, which increased the advantage of those winning the division, because wild card teams, they played each other, then they had a one-day break. You had to use your best pitcher. You had to. I mean, you couldn't take a chance of losing that. Then you had a one-day break, and then you had the 2-2-1. So your number one pitcher could not pitch again until game three. So you not only lost the home field, but you lost your best pitcher until the third game of a 3-out-of-5 series. That was a huge, huge deal. And you did not see wild cards winning the World Series during the period of the five. I don't think we'll see it this year either. But anyhow, that's...
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things you're saying is a reason I don't love the five. I did really like it when they first started doing it. The winner go home of that wild card game was exciting. But I do hate that in the five, you can have a team with 96 wins against a team with 81. You know, it hasn't been that drastic ever, but there have been some big gaps. And so those 15 extra wins mean virtually nothing. You got one game to have your shot at moving on, even if you've won a lot more throughout the year, which I think is tough, which then you could argue, oh, well, if we expand the playoffs, you're going to have teams that have won 71 games. And that's true. I mean, it is. That's a good argument, too. So I don't know. I'm a little more tempted to go with the four, just because that one game, even though it's great, it's just never felt, even though it can be exciting, it's just never really felt like the right way to end a team's season to me. Like I love when game 163 happens to determine a division or a wild card or something. I love that. I went to game 163 at Wrigley a couple years ago to see the Brewers beat the Cubs, which they did. It was great. But yeah, I have very mixed feelings. It's there are things I like about both, things I hate about both ideas.
Well, it's going to be five this year because that's what we're reverting to. And I then it'll become a negotiation for after the season when the contract is up. My guess is at that point it'll go to six or possibly seven. If it go to any, because we could just not have a 2022 season if they go at it hammer and tongs and whatnot. Speaking of hammers and tongs, behind Will, for those of you who don't have the video going, is one Mr. Nelson Cruz. As we discussed earlier, the Twins have re-signed him. This is not a good thing for the Sox. Also, the word on MLB trade rumors today is that the Twins are interested in one Alex Colome.
Yeah, I saw that. And this is just, this has been an off season of bad days for White Sox fans, to be honest. For the most part, we've had a lot of bad days. You know, Liam Hendricks was a good day. This was maybe the worst day. Just in terms of a complete failure to position yourself against the team you most likely need to compete against. This was a huge, huge failure. I think Colome is going to go to the Twins. I mean, I hope he doesn't do well there, I guess, even though I like him. Cruz is signed on. I mean, I think he's back in. And I just, this was just a pathetic, pathetic thing from the White Sox to sleep through this week of deals. And
you know, you mentioned that the one really good day was Liam Hendricks. And yet, and while it's great, I'm glad we have Liam Hendricks. I think all Sox fans are glad we have Liam Hendricks. The fact is, that was not a position of weakness. Aggravating the Colome was in 2019 and even the beginning of 2020. The fact is, we've had, 3 blown saves in 2 years? You can't upgrade much from that. And it's good. Yeah. We've got probably the best guy there is. We shouldn't downgrade any. We should be in the same level of great shape there. We're in terrific shape. But the one improvement we've had is Lance Lynn, who was a rental.
I've seen a lot of Twitter talk of people slamming people who are calling Lance Lynn a rental and saying that if you think he's not going to play for the Sox in 2022, you're crazy. And I don't understand that. I don't. And I'm happy to have them yell at me on Twitter after this. And I'm happy to listen, actually, because I don't understand why you would think Lance Lynn is a guarantee.
Just because he's been with your team for 1 year, he's necessarily going to sign some long-term contract with you. That doesn't make any sense.
And if the White Sox don't live up to the hype, which is possible because they've made so many stupid decisions over this offseason, if they don't live up to the hype, Lance Lynn's definitely leaving, you know, because someone else is going to scoop up and give him a 1-year deal, and he's going to try this again with a winning team. Well, he was traded to the White Sox. He didn't try it with the White Sox, but that even is more telling. He didn't even necessarily want to come. So I like the idea that maybe he'll sign on, but the idea that it is going to happen is just so unrealistic, especially when you get traded to the team that everyone is laughing at for not spending money. I mean, do you think Lance Lynn's sitting around thinking, oh, I'm going to get a great deal next year? No. He's thinking, where am I going to go where they're going to pay me for real? Because this team doesn't do it.
Actually, it's a team that's famous for getting people into long-term contracts to the benefit of the team.
Exactly.
You know, I don't know. It'd be an interesting thing to research. And I have no idea. And I've never read anything about it. The percentage of times that people are either one season or partial season, trading deadline rentals, who then stay with the team that they went to. I have no idea what that percentage is.
I'd be very curious to find out as well. And I'm sure there is a way to find out. Someone's keeping
somebody. I'm sure somebody's got it. There's no statistic you can't have in baseball.
Yeah. And I my guess would be that number is very low. Very low. And that's just because, I mean, it is a known thing that you are renting that guy, and then that guy is going to potentially explore the market. I mean, that is the situation we see here.
And you can't even put a qualifying offer on the guy by the rules.
Right. Yeah. So I think I would be shocked if that number is over 20%. And I think it could be 10-5%, you know.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Now, I'm sure the ones who go to the Yankees or the Dodgers, it's a much higher percentage because they're going to be offered the biggest bucks for those teams anyway. And now the Padres and the Phillies to an extent as well. And Toronto. I mean, there's some teams out there spending money and used to be Boston, but the Cubs used to be the Cubs and so on.
Who the Meanwhile, Cubs are even doing a little more than we are now.
Let's after the break, let's get into an argument because we are going to disagree big time on this one.
Oh, man. Is this a Dylan Cease thing?
Well, there, his name will be mentioned.
Oh, no. All right. Okay.
No, it's not prominent.
All right, cool. Let's take a break, and I'll hear you talk poorly about my favorite pitcher, who's not actually my favorite pitcher, everybody. Calm down. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. Sounds like the geezer is about to go on a little anti-Dylan potentially rant.
No, that's not the basis of it, although that may be included as part. No, I think we're going to have the big disagreement as Carlos Rodon.
Oh, yeah.
Because you were extremely disappointed. I was not. I'm not going, oh, boy, we got Carlos back. Wow. Because who knows? But I thought it was worth the risk. $3 million, perhaps an overpay. But you know what? If you're paying Reynaldo Lopez $2.1 million, you tender him for arbitration, you avoid arbitration, you're paying Reynaldo Lopez $2.1 million. I think you have to pay Carlos Rodon $3 million. Yes, Rodon, Lopez doesn't have the terrible injury history of Rodon. But Rodon, when he's healthy, is at least good. Lopez isn't good ever.
No, that's not true. One out of every five games, he's a Cy Young candidate. Well, and then the other four, his ERA is over 150.
Yeah. But what surprises me is not that a lot of people go, oh, I think that we shouldn't have gotten Rodon. Perfectly natural reaction. If you've read the comments on our articles on our site, on other sites, Sox related sites, it was hatred. It was like QAnon versus pizza parlors with basements. It was just like this was the most vicious, horrible thing you could do, and he's a terrible human being or whatever against him. I don't get it. I get the, well,
he,
you know.
Is he a bad guy? Is he a bad guy?
No, I don't mean in that sense. I mean just that it was a horrible, horrible thing to have him on the team.
I won't say it.
I don't get it.
I definitely don't disagree with you that it's a horrible thing. I think it's a stupid, lame thing. And, you know, maybe it'll pan out. $3 million's not a bad price tag if he is even sort of decent. You know, we see way worse pitchers make a lot more than that. Way worse than sort of decent, I mean. So, I don't hate the move. It's just such a bleh move for this offseason. We're so pumped. We're so excited. And then all of a sudden we're paying $3 million for Rodon. I mean, $3 million, you can get a lot of vaccines for that. And you're thinking
not
about
many baseball players.
Right. But I'm thinking like, well, could we vaccinate all the teachers or could we have Carlos Rodon? I'm like, we should have used that $3 million somewhere else. It's fine. I don't expect him to do anything really interesting. I don't expect him to really pitch in the majors all that much or all that well. I don't have hatred towards the signing. It wasn't quite enough money for me to have that. I'd rather have Lopez at two than Rodon at three, which I know we definitely don't agree with on that. I'd rather have Cease for 15. Just kidding. 20 million.
Cease's price. You can't argue with Cease's price.
Cease's price. Great.
Right now, he's cheap.
That's why I like him. He is a bargain. I love a good bargain. I'm a bargain hunter. Dylan Cease is the bargain. Rodon, I don't know if he's a bargain.
I think if he stays healthy, and that's a huge if.
But if Carlos Rodon stays healthy is like, you know, saying, if Marjorie Taylor Greene chills out, like, it's just not going to happen.
But okay, I mean, except that now that he's had the Tommy John, that is more of an extreme treatment than anything that he had before. So maybe it's something that's straightened out. I think this past year, they just brought him back too soon. I have no idea why they brought him back.
Yeah, they didn't.
He had the surgery in May, and he jumps into 15 months later, I think a little less than 15 months, he's in the major leagues. The normal thing is 15 months later, you're on a rehab. That's either spring training, or you're in a rehab in the minors, or it doesn't matter what happens. And so you can, whatever you throw, doesn't matter. Just work on your slider today for the whole game, or work on your changeup or whatever it may be. Nobody cares. The whole point is just to get loose and have fun. You know, try pitching low and inside. Is it difficult? Whatever. To be straight into the majors out of that, that's, I think, was just a terrible mistake. That was just stupid.
Yeah, it was. It was. And I think an issue we'll see too. He will have a spring training this year, which is nice. It looks like some sort of spring training. But at $3 million, my concern is
that the $3 million comes off the $8 million you could have gone to Jake Odorizzi. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big part of it. And then also $3 million is high enough to me that I think that they are going to start with him in the major leagues. And I agree with you. He should be down in the minors working on things, and I don't think he will be. And that is not
all six of the theoretical starters will start in the major leagues. Some of them are going to be on low pitch counts. I think Rodon will be on a low pitch count for sure.
Yeah.
Who knows? Lopez should be on a zero pitch count, but they'll probably give him a few more than that.
Who's your five? Let's say we are in a world where there's five starters. You've got Giolito, of course, is going to do opening day. Keuchel will probably pitch game two. Maybe Lynn will pitch three. So who's your four? The fourth day of the season, who are you sending out? The fifth day of the season, who are you sending out, assuming there are no breaks?
I know the assumption clear across the board is that Cease's is number four. That Cease is just written in as number four. As you know, I am not a Cease fan. I have no faith in him. I have a lot of interest in what Ethan Katz can do.
Yeah.
He may be able to do it with Cease. He may be able to do it with Lopez, even though I think that's written up.
Well, and he may be
able to do it with Lopez. I mean, with Rodon.
It's not even about being able to do something with these guys. You know, a lot of people are, you know, sort of loving on Katz before we've seen him do anything. They love him so much already. And I think people, I'm thrilled with that hire. Don't get me wrong. I don't know if it's about Cease really needing to have someone come in and fix everything, or if he just needed a pitching coach. You know, he had Coop, and not necessarily the best guy for a young pitcher to be learning the nuances. Exactly. So for me, Cease actually is your number four going into this season, because he has a pitching coach for the first time. A good pitching coach. And I'm not saying Cease is going to come out and be Giolito. I absolutely do not think that's going to happen. But you're talking about a number four starter. I think that with a decent, because Cease has stuff. He does. He's got talent. He's got abilities. So the question is, who can help him focus those abilities, and who can help him figure out his what's going to be his game? And I think that could be Katz. I do think that could be Katz. I think Cease could be a solid number four. I do not expect him to move up in that at all in the next couple of years, but I could see him being a solid number four.
I think the if is, and it, apparently the huge problem with Cease is that his four-seamer, well, it has a fantastically high spin rate, has a useless spin rate because it's directed wrong to get any movement on the ball, which is why its fastball is flat and why its fastball comes out you know, goes in at 98 and comes out at 105. If Cat, and that to me seems such a simple change over time, not in the middle of a game or something, but when you've got a whole offseason of spring training, it's got to be just how you grip the ball.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
What, you know, what pressure goes with what finger and maybe a little bit of what your wrist is doing. That seems such a simple change for a good pitching coach to get him to do. And I think he's going to have a pitching coach who can do that. I realize with Katz, I mean, he's kind of unproven too, because yes, marvelous high school pitching coach. Obviously did wonders with Giolito after Lucas was terrible and went back to him again. But then he'd known Giolito since he was 14 years old. So yeah, he's familiar with whatever his problems are. But I think that's something that's trainable. And if Katz can get that trained on Cease, probably also shorten up his delivery a little, give him a little, which he did with Giolito, a little more control and command. If he does those things, and Cease is number four, if he cannot get that done, I wouldn't be surprised if Rodon, even though he'll pitch in the fifth slot, is actually your fourth best. Lopez,
you're crazy. You're crazy. I mean, I hope you're right. I hope Rodon is good enough this year that could happen, even if it comes at the expense of my boy Dylan. But wow, your faith in Rodon, I do not share it, and I'm not anti-Rodon.
So we're just discounting the probability that Trevor Bauer would come in as number four. So
oh right, yes, he would be. Now that's a number four. That is, you're talking about the premier number four in all of baseball. I think actually, if we do end up with Bauer, which we 100% will not, if we do end up with him, you just make him the five. You just do it. You just take him down a peg.
Just for humor.
And you tell him, like, you gotta earn number one around here. And make him the five. Put Dylan out there the day before Bauer. Just be like, you could learn something past this guy. Yeah, Bauer. I hope he has fun in Philadelphia or Los Angeles or New York, because that's where he's going. Unless the Padres just want to end this now. Imagine if the Padres did somehow get him, and then next year Mike Clevinger comes back and you have six number one starters.
Of course, the Blue Jays, you know, they're tossing money around like crazy. So
I could see him going to the Blue Jays, except Trevor Bauer, real American. So maybe he wouldn't be willing to play in Canada.
You know, the Blue Jays could be playing in Buffalo.
That's true. And Buffalo does seem like a Trevor Bauer kind of town. All right. I think that's all the time we have. For this week, any final thoughts?
None
whatsoever. I'm sure next week we'll be talking about how the Twins have Trevor Bauer and Alex Colome and Marcelo Zuna, and they've just added everybody that we should have tried to add and did not. Hopefully that's not the case, but we'll see you next week and complain about it if it is.